going on, God is good. He's still good even when I'm a screw up. God is good. Even when Arby fails, falls flat on his face, God is still good and worthy of my praise. Regardless of how wrong I am, he's still worthy. So remember that. Rejoice and be glad, because God is good all the time. No matter what, he is good. I love New Year's. New beginnings, new life, new chances, new opportunity. Guess I'm supposed to take the tithe right now also. This is a new part of the, I guess, order of service I have to get used to. I'm going to invite the ushers forward. We're going to receive our tithe and offering for the Life Center here. God gives us opportunity to give back into his kingdom. I'm really echoey, boomy up here. I don't know if it's that way out there. Yeah, all right. They're working on that. We'll give them a chance, or a moment, rather, not a chance. I know they'll get it. We'll give them a moment. Man, Johnny's not the only one stumbling over his words today. Hopefully this isn't recorded. Let's take a moment, pray over the tithe, the offering. Father, we thank you, Lord God. God, for your many blessings and provisions. God, we thank you for the gifts, talents, and abilities you've given us, God, to be able to go out and create for ourselves an income. God, that we can then in turn, God, bless those around us. And God, that we can give back to your kingdom as you call us to, God, a tenth of our income to return to you. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be a part of your kingdom, to serve and minister. And God, we just ask your blessing upon those who give, God. God, for your word tells us that you love a cheerful giver. And God, we just thank you, God, that you love us so much. And God, we thank you for your blessing, your provision in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. One thing I love today, especially about tithe and offering, is it pays the electric bill. And it's not 14 degrees in this building this morning. And that there's running water. And Joel, I think up here in the front row. And we have comfy seats to sit in, and we have lights so we can see, and we have an amazing sound system so you can hear me clear up in the balcony. Hello, hello, hello. Sorry, that was not near as funny as it was in my head. So thank God. Thank God. And we get to bless people all around the world all year long because of your generosity, your faithfulness to give, as God's called us to do so. So when giving goes up, the staff here doesn't make more money, we get to give more money, which is pretty awesome. We get to bless our local community, our region, the world beyond us, clear over to Africa and South America and Australia, and I'm not even sure where all we give anymore. It's global anyway. And it is awesome. And kids, dismiss. Kids for Children's Church, ages 3 to 5th grade, have classes available over in the East Wing. Parents, if you would sign them in, please, that would be super amazing. And remember to pick them up at the end of service. That's always helpful as well. Now we can get on to the message. Yahoo! First of all, Happy New Year! Woohoo! The neighbor's fireworks woke me up once again. I said Happy New Year and went back to sleep. As soon as the fireworks subsided, it was perfect. Perfect, perfect. I hope you're ready to experience a new year with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I hope you're ready to experience a double portion year. I believe that's what I'm calling 2022. I'm just declaring it over the Life Center, over the kingdom of God, that 2022 is going to be a double portion kind of a year. But that's God's part. Now we have to do our part. You and I have to double down, which I learned is a blackjack term. It's a gambling term. Can you talk about that in church? Is that okay? And it has another meaning also. I'll read you both of them. So in blackjack, it's a card game. Double down means to double a bet after seeing one's initial cards. That means I've seen and I like what I have, and I think I have a really good shot at winning the hand. So I'm going to double down on what I'm willing to put at risk to earn more in the end. But it does require that you draw one additional card. You still have to take that next draw, which means you have to extend a little faith or a little risk. And this could put me over or it could put me right on the money. But when we apply it to God, we've tasted and seen that God is good, correct? Are you willing to double down on what he has in store for you next without being able to see it? It's a blind card. You don't get to see it until you put the money down, until you put your faith down, until you put your time, energy, and talents down. Then you get to see the reveal. But we know that God is a good God. I think it's a safe bet. Double down on God in 2022. Double down on what he has in store for you. Another definition of double down in Oxford Language Dictionary: to strengthen one's commitment to a particular strategy or course of action, typically one that is potentially risky. Are you ready to focus energy and resources on a particular strategy? Especially when we're talking about God here and what God's plan for your life is. Another one in the Webster's, which I really like: to become more tenacious, zealous, or resolute in a position or undertaking. What position will you take in 2022? What undertakings will you take on in 2022? What are you willing to risk? What are you willing to double down on? God, I'm going to double down on my prayer life. God, I'm going to double down on my reading the word life. God, I'm going to double down on engaging in fellowship with other believers to sharpen myself and encourage myself in you. God, I'm willing to double down on forgiveness. I'm going to forgive twice as quick as I used to, or twice as many people as I used to, or I'm going to forgive people I haven't forgiven yet. That would be a double down bet. Because then I'm risking forgiveness, and then, okay, it's forgiven. Now I'm going to engage in relationship with you, and I'm putting myself out there, and I might get hurt again. That's the risk. But I'm going to double down and forgive. I'm going to double down and forget. I'm going to double down and... You talk to God this week. What's your double down? What's your double down for the 21-day fast starting the year off? Did you forget about the fast already? We're 2 days in today. Or I guess a day and a half is all we are right now, huh? We're just barely getting going. We got another 19 days, 19 and a half days ahead of us. Yes. What's your double down on God? I'm doing a pretty big fast. I'm not going to talk about it, but for me, it's a pretty big fast. And I said, God, I really want to connect with you this year in the fast. I really want to grow my relationship. I want to like double time it. I don't want just a little drop in the bucket. Oh, look, which is fine. If that's all I get, if all I get is time with God, I'm fine with that. I'm like, God, I really want to seek you and spend time with you in this fast. So I'm getting serious about it and canceling a bunch of physical things that I like in my life for 21 days. I'm going to spend that time with you and in your presence, because I really want to engage with you, and I want to see what your double portion is for me in 2022. So what are you giving up for this fast, this first 21 days of the year? How serious are you about it? Are you doubling down on your bet to God, or your chance on God, and see if he'll reveal himself and show up in a mighty way in your life? James chapter 1, verse 17. We're having some technical errors, so there will be no screen Bible verses for you, so you get to use your hard copy today. But check out my double portion. Double mint, double mint gum, double the flavor, double the fun. Isn't that fun? I forgot my verse I was looking up now. I got all excited about the commercial. I haven't seen a commercial in years. We don't have regular TV, so we don't have commercial. When I was a kid, that was a fun one. James chapter 1, verse 17, way in the back of your Bible, a little tiny book, just a few pages. In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 17, it says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Do you know God is consistent? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. Sometimes we're willing to double down and we take a risk or a bet, and then something bad happens and we blame God for it. We say, God, you did this. No, God didn't do it. It's usually this guy that messed it up. Or Satan trying to mess me up to make me think poorly of God and then not to take a chance and double down on him. But God's never changing. He can take the bad things that happen to us and use them for his good and glory, but he does not make bad things happen to us. That is not of his hand. We'll look at this next passage, John chapter 10, verse 10. We'll find out who the bringer of bad news is. The thief, aka the devil, Satan, Lucifer, angel of light, whatever name you want to slap on him. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. The thief, Satan, if something bad is going on in your life, don't give credit to God. Give credit to Satan. And tell him to get out of here in Jesus' name. You have no place, no authority, no right to engage in my life, my mind, my will, or my emotions. I command you to go in Jesus' name. So something's not working out, it's not God. If something bad's happening to you, it's the thief. He's come to kill and to steal and to destroy you. But listen to this last half of the verse. I love it. This is one of my life verses. I love this thing. I have come that they being the human beings of the world, may have life and have it to the full. Or some translations say in abundance or overflowing, in excess. So if Christ came that I can have life to the full or in abundance, am I living that life he came to give me? Or am I living this life without a double portion that is being stolen, that is being killed, that is being destroyed? Where are you at on that scale? Because on one end, Satan brings it, and on one end, Jesus brings it. Maybe you're somewhere in the middle. Maybe you're in the spot that we call, I'm okay. I'm okay. Okay is the worst thing you can be as a Christian. Because it means I'm not being harassed by Satan, but it's because I'm not doing the will of God for my life. But I'm okay. I'm not getting stolen, not getting killed, not getting destroyed. I'm just okay. Everything's okay. You know, when you seek God and you start changing the world around you for God and his glory, Satan's sending the attack. If you're not harassing his kingdom, he's not harassing you. He doesn't have a reason to. You're not telling anybody about Jesus. You're not bringing anybody to church so they can hear the good news that there's a God above who loves them and died on a cross so that they could have eternal salvation. There's no reason to harass you because you're okay. I'm okay with how life is. It's all good. Revelations chapter 3. This is what Jesus says about people who are just okay. This letter is written to the church of Laodicea. He says, I know your deeds, chapter 3, verse 15. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot or cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. I am about to spit you out of my mouth. Do you want to be spit out by God? Anybody? No. I don't want to be. So I have to weigh myself. Am I hot or am I cold? If I'm cold, I better get hot because I'm in a bad spot if I'm cold. Anybody been cold the last 2 days? Did any of you go indoors and get hot? The cold was not pleasant, was it? No. You wanted to get warm and be hot. Jesus tells us if we're just okay or if we're just lukewarm, he's going to spit us out. Yikes. And we're not going to read it, but further in this passage, in this letter, he says, I've given you opportunity. I've tried to show you the error of your way. I've tried to invite you into relationship with me. But rather than come and be in relationship with me, you're enjoying the blessings of this physical life as your double portion. And you're not engaging in relationship with me. You're not engaging in the double portion of the spiritual blessings and matters I have in store for you. But you're saying, hey, we're rich. We don't have any needs. We have what we want. We have food and clothing. We're okay. We're okay. God says, I didn't send my son so you could be okay. I sent my son so you could have a life and have it to the full, or have it in abundance, or have it overflowing so that you can be blessed to be a blessing to those around you. Because when I'm just okay, this is usually the only guy I'm taking care of. I'm not helping anyone else. I'm not meeting other people's needs. You can ask my wife probably. I've just been okay sometimes. Don't answer that. You'll hurt my feelings. I know I've just been an okay husband at times in our marriage. Those parts of our marriage were not that pleasant for my wife. Because I was just an okay husband. Now I'm so fantastic, it's amazing. Don't ask her that either. She would tell you for sure I'm a much better husband than I used to be. More consistently. Sometimes. But don't just be okay with being okay. Press into the greater things God has in store for you. James chapter 4, verse 17. James chapter 4, verse 17. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. When you know there's a good thing you're supposed to do, I've had to repent of this a few times when God's asked me to go do something for him. You know, God, I'm busy. Have you looked at my calendar? I don't have time for that. And then I've had to repent and say, God, I'm sorry. I completely screwed up. You asked me to do it. I didn't do it. Now, please help those people still get what they need, even though I was foolish and didn't do it. It has a bad ripple effect on down the line when I don't do what I'm supposed to be doing. But we're supposed to know the right thing and then go do it. Not just know it. Yeah, I know the right thing. I know the right answer. But we can't just know it. We have to go and do. Which we don't have the time to get into the whole Word of God and everything he calls us to go and do. But some of the simple things he calls us to go and do are love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Take care of widows and orphans. And the list goes on and on. But those are some of the big picture, simple will of God that I can act upon every day. Go do the right thing. Love God, love people, and love myself. That's a pretty simple place to start. Beyond that, we can dig into God's word and get all kinds of creative of what he calls us to go and do. And then our personal ministries of what he's called us to go and do. So I was on this elk hunt probably 15 years ago now. It's been a while. I was guiding this guy, and he was, yeah, I want, the, you know, just talks about this bowl like the one in the men's restroom. If you haven't seen it, there's one in there. He's like, I want, you know, describes this big, giant, massive elk that he wants for his trophy to take home. And it's like, okay, yeah, let's do it. And the first night in camp, it is 0 degrees. And we're staying in wall tents, which they're about this thick. If you don't keep the fire going, the heat goes out really quickly. So it was a terrible, miserable, cold night. Even I will confess to that. It was not a pleasant night. Wake up in the morning, I get his fire going, and the other guest gets up and gets ready, and he doesn't come over, and I go over and wake him up again. Hey, you know, it's time for breakfast. And okay, I'm getting up. And so this goes on and on and on until about 9:30 in the morning. And for any of you elk hunters, you know, 9:30 in the morning is not typically a good time to elk hunt. It's about 3 hours past a good time to elk hunt. So it's like, all right, you know, it was freezing, and so we went out for a nature walk. We weren't hunting. And he didn't want to be caught out in the dark in the woods because it was so cold and we'd die and freeze to death. So he was like, all right, he really wanted to get back. So then we're back into camp at like 3 o'clock. Like, so really, we went on a great nature walk. Second night, freezing cold again in camp. Freezing cold. Same routine next day. Just couldn't get this guy out of camp. Didn't want to leave camp. Wanted to be back early. And then the following 2 days, he wouldn't even leave camp. So I got to just do fun stuff, cutting firewood with handsaws and all that good stuff. Finally, the 5th day, I'm like, or maybe the 6th day, I don't remember. I'm like, look, if you'll just give me one morning, there's this meadow I want to get to. I want to be there at daylight. And I think if we get there, we can have a really good shot at getting the elk you want. But we have to get there. We have to leave camp in the dark, hike an hour in the dark, get to where I want to be at daylight. I'm like, can you just give me one morning? Does God ever do this with you? It's like, come on, Arby, just let's get going. Get with the program. Get with what I'm doing instead of what you want to be doing. Get out of your comfort zone, Arby. Get moving. So finally he agrees. He's like, all right, I'll give you one morning. So we get up early, we get to where I want to go, and we're sitting there at daylight, and we're overlooking the meadow, and it's, you can maybe see 30 or 40 yards yet. And you just see the sliver of light show up in the eastern ridge line, and the sun's popping, and it's just starting to get light quickly, and we can see about 80 yards. I can see two cow elk grazing. I'm like, oh, perfect. Next thing I hear is, the daylight has come! I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm so excited to see the daylight. I'm like, sometimes we ask God for things. I want a double portion, God. I want a double portion. But we're not willing to do the work to get in line with his double portion. Because we want what we want. He was so terrified of the dark. He was just excited to see daylight. And the elk ran off and lived happily ever after. But does God call you to come away with him? Does God have a double portion lined up for you? Absolutely. I'm 100% sure of that. But are you willing to get up early, even when it's cold, even when it's hard, even when it's uncomfortable? Even when it's not what you want to do 1,000%, no. Will you still come away with him? You know, it's funny. I usually don't eat breakfast. I skip most breakfasts. I have a few cups of coffee. Just a few. But you know, as soon as the fast starts, guess what my stomach did yesterday at 6 a.m.? I'm hungry. I want to eat some food. Oh, look, we have bacon and sausage and eggs in the fridge, your favorite. Why is that? I cannot eat breakfast for months and not eat until lunch all the time. Until it's fast time. It's like, I want 5 a.m. breakfast. I'm in hunting camp all year long now. It's not supposed to be easy. But what the fast is supposed to do is when you feel that hunger or that thirst or that need to jump onto Facebook or your social media accounts or whatever you're fasting, whenever you feel that, you're supposed to come away with the Father and say, "Here I am, Lord." And sometimes you might just sit there and be in His presence and just say, "Pour into me." Or you might sit and reflect on a Bible verse you just read. Or you might sit and be in prayer. Saying, "God, what are we doing today? God, this is what I want from you today. God, this is what I want for my family, my friends, my ministry." But are you willing to put in the time and effort for that double portion that He has for you? Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. Young people, if you need a job and want to keep a job, apply this verse. Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. And in this particular passage, he's talking about, like, you only have this life to live. After that, you go into the place of the dead. The last part of that verse is, "For in the realm of the dead, where you are going, there is neither working nor planning nor knowledge nor wisdom." He's saying, whatever you find to do, do it with all your might. He's talking about above that is eating and drinking and loving your wife, and do it with all your might. Enjoy the pleasures of this life. Because where you're going, heaven, is going to be way different. But whatever your hands find to do it with all your might. God, what are you calling me to do? I don't care what he's calling you to do. Do it with all your might. Maybe you're called to be a long-haul truck driver. Do it with all your might. Maybe you're called to minister to people on the road as you're traveling. Do it with all your might. Maybe you're called to be a school teacher. Do it with all your might. Maybe you're called to be a mailman. Do it with all your might. Whatever God calls you to do, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. I have to remember when I'm playing tag with five-year-olds not to tag them with all my might. That's one time when you should restrain, use the fruit of the Spirit, self-control. Sorry. Whatever your hands find to do it with all your might. Last week we talked about Elisha in 1 Kings. Elisha being called by Elijah. I'll get there eventually. Just bear with me. 1 Kings 19, 19 through 21. We're going to look at what Elisha went through, some of the things he had to put in order to get his double portion anointing. So Elijah, chapter 19, verse 19 through 21. The call to Elisha. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. "Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye," he said, "and then I will come to you." "Go back," Elijah replied. "What have I done to you?" So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. So in this first portion of Scripture, some of the things that Elisha had to do, that then he entered into servanthood of Elijah for 6 years, is where we're going to pick up in the next verse. But some of the things he had to do, he had to run after Elijah. He had to physically go and run after him. What are you running after in your life? What are you chasing after? There used to be this young lady I was dating, and I ran after her. I pursued her until I got up the courage one day to say, "Will you marry me?" And she looked at me, love in her heart, and said, "I guess." She says she said, heck yes. But I think that's what she would say now. I think she was taking a big gamble at that time in my life, and she knew it. But what are you running after in your life? What are you pursuing? Does it glorify God? Does it give honor to his name and his kingdom? Then Elisha had to give something up. He gave up his job, his occupation. He also gave up the oxen he was plowing with, the plowshare. He made the sacrifice. He built the altar, put the plowing equipment on it, sacrificed the bull, or both the bulls. It was a yoke of oxen. He also shared it with others. He didn't keep it all for himself, but he shared it with others. He didn't just hoard it. And then he left it all and followed Elijah. And part of that burning was that he had nothing to go back to. Part of this repentance Johnny was talking about today, the Hebrew word picture is a burning house. Like, we repented of it. We burned it down, so we have nothing to go back to. So all we have is to pursue what's in front of us. So forget about what happened in 2020. Forget about what happened in 2021. Forget about what happened in 1980. Well, you know, a while back. Think about what's happening in 2022. The Lord God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, has a double portion in store for you. Run after that. Pursue that. Leave everything else behind and say, I'm running after you and what you have in store for me. 2 Kings chapter 2. This is 6 years later. Elisha's just been a servant to his master Elisha. Whatever you need. He hasn't got any glory or fame, but he's just been a servant, sitting under to be trained and equipped for the ministry he would launch into. 2 Kings chapter 2. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way to Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, and the Lord has sent me on to Jordan." It might sound a little repetitive, but Elisha's getting out every time and not taking it. Have you ever gotten out when things get hard or tough, or, "Yeah, I'm not sure I want to go. Don't really want to do that"? Wouldn't it be easier to take the out? If you want a double portion, you have to persist and pursue and endure and stay in the waiting. You can't just take the first easy out and expect a double portion. And he, Elisha, replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. That would have been worth hanging out just to see that. Right? That would have been pretty awesome. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you?" And that part of the story just always baffles me. Like, they knew, like, it's the appointed day. God's coming to remove Elijah from the earth in a whirlwind. Does that not seem weird to anybody else? Like, if we're in Kansas, I understand. They have tornadoes. But they're just walking, like, hey, I know God's going to take you today, so I'm just going to hang out with you until he does. That's just bizarre to me. We don't have time to get into that today. Maybe another day. Elisha tells Elijah this, "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not." Do you know you can miss out on your double portion if you're not properly aligned with where God wants you? You can miss out on what he has in store for you. Part of that is just being engaged with him daily. God, what do you want from me? Being open to his spirit, being in his word, hearing clearly, God, what do you want? What do you have? Where are we going today? What are we doing? Really what it is waking up in the morning, yielding Arby's will for the day, saying, God, what do you have for me? God, where do you think we should go today? What should we do? As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" he asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. How many times would we get stuck in that moment? Like, what just happened? My master was taken. We could fall into sorrow or bitterness or anger or any number of things at that moment. Elijah shows his emotion. He tears his garment, which was a sign of mourning in those days. He tears the garment he has on in mourning. He shows the emotion, but he doesn't get stuck there. He goes, all right, that's over. I'm sad. He's gone. Let's move on with what God has in store for us. He picks up his garment, rolls it, walks to the water and strikes it, and goes on with life. I love that part of the story. I wish I could get really good at doing that part of the story. Yeah. One day, Ron, one day. But we can't get hung up in our emotional state or our affliction or what we think went wrong. We can't get hung up in our hurts, our insults, or whatever, whatever, whatever. We have to say, God, it's real and it hurts, but I'm moving forward. Because I want what you have in store for me. And Elisha, we don't have time to get into his ministry, but wow, the things he got to see and do. Amazing ministry. I encourage you to jump into 2 Kings and check out some of Elisha's story as he moves forward in ministry. What a prophet of God. And just the miracles and wonders he got to see. Amazing faith. So in this part of the passage, some of the things Elisha had to overcome to get to his double portion. He had the option to stay. Elijah kept giving him the out. You know, you just stay here. God's calling me here. You know, I'm leaving anyway, and God's taking me, so no big deal. I don't know what the attitude was or the atmosphere there, but it's almost like he's given him an out. Like, go ahead and stay here. Take it easy. Kick back. Have dinner. I'm just going to be hiking and ministering for the next day. But he keeps in journey with him. He stays in relationship with him and keeps moving forward. So this happens again. All the prophets come and say, Elisha, what are you doing? You know he's going to be taken. Why are you hanging out with him? Like, he has option after option. He even gets to the point that they're just standing watching him. don't know if they're watching to wait and see him fail or wait to see the waters open up or why they're watching. But it didn't sound like they were standing with him. And then it gets down to the question Elijah asked him, what can I do for you? What a wonderful answer. I want a double portion of your spirit. Because he had seen some of the miracles that happened in Elijah's ministry and God's hand move mightily and seen his faith. He says, I want a double portion of what you got going on. And then there's the answer, and then he has to follow through. He has to be there in the moment that Elijah's taken, which means, I don't know, he might have missed meals, he might have missed sleep. I don't know what it cost him holistically, but he had to stay there and follow through. And then once he followed through and Elijah was taken, then he had to begin picking it up and walking it out. If you want a double portion from God, you've got to stay in, stay in, stay in, stay in. Stay in relationship. Do you want a double portion in your marriage? Do you want a double portion of wisdom in how to raise your kids according to God's word? That they would grow up in the fear and knowledge of the Lord? Do you want a double portion of course, we all want a double portion of finances. Do you want a double portion of wisdom of how to manage your finances? Do you want a double portion of how to learn great work ethic? How to work with all your might? Do you want a double portion of how do I minister to those around me well? How do I show them Jesus' love well? Do you want a double portion of peace? Do you want a double portion of what do you need? Because God's got this amazing storehouse full of peace, full of joy, full of patience. I'm still working on that one. Full of long-suffering, full of goodness, full of meekness, full of gentleness. The fruit of his spirit is our true double portion. God, how can I be more patient today than I was yesterday? He has so much more than physical blessings to give us, and I'm not just talking physical double portion. I'm talking spiritual double portion. Do you want to have the right words in your mouth to speak the truth of God's word in a moment or a situation that will change somebody's life forever? I have a friend I've been journeying with. We went to school all together. Mostly been in and out of prison all of our adult lives for the last 20 years. And been walking with him in and out of prison, in and out of jail, in and out of addiction. And he's coming up on, I think, 22 months of sobriety right now, which is awesome. I want to see a double portion of anointing of ministry in his life. If that's the only double portion I get this year, I'm happy. But the first time since he was 14 years old, he posted, this was a while back, but first time 8 months sober since I was 14 years old. That's awesome. That's a miracle. I want those kind of double portions in my 2022. I want to see people set free from addiction, from bondage, from abuse, from neglect, from hunger. That's the double portion I'm asking God for in 2022. I don't care if it shows up in Benjamin's. I really don't. But I want to see it show up in people set free and living for the King of Kings and the King of Glories. I'm going to invite my wife to come if you could play for a bit. I have one more verse, and as I read it, I'm going to invite the prayer team to come. But if you have, like Johnny said, if you need to repent, repentance is the first place you need to go. It's the first thing you have to do. But if you have somebody in your life you're praying for, a double portion that you need in your life, maybe it's a miraculous healing. Maybe it's just a touch from God. Maybe it's, man, I haven't forgiven these people for 100 years. Or 2 days. I need work on forgiveness. I need a double portion of forgiveness in my life. Whatever you need, just come up front and get prayer. I'm going to read this last scripture, if the prayer team would come. And then you're free to be dismissed. If you want to get up and go, feel free to go. This is our official dismissal. As soon as I read the scripture, of course. But this last scripture in Isaiah chapter 61, the whole passage is incredible. It's titled The Year of the Lord's Favor. But there's one verse in here, verse 7, Isaiah 61. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land. And everlasting joy will be yours. If that's the kind of double portion you're looking for in 2022, you can come forward and pray by yourself at the edge of the altar if you want, or you can get prayer from the team here, whatever you prefer. But don't leave today without setting your 2022 up for success and receiving what God has in store for you. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord God. God, for your many blessings, your provisions in our lives, God. We thank you for those you encircle around us. And God, we just ask you to open our eyes to all that you have in store for us, God, that we would live that life that your word talks about in John 10:10. Because your son Jesus has come that we may have a life and have it to the full. God, we want to pursue you and all that you have in store for us. Father, we thank you. God, we give you praise and honor and glory today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Feel free to get prayer or get dismissed.
On Christ alone, our chief cornerstone, no other foundation can we